Hey everybody, it's Doug Addison, and I have a special message I've been longing to bring to you. I've been traveling all over the world for a number of years bringing this message and watching the heavens open and amazing things happening. But let's just go into this and see what God does. You know, we're currently facing a problem that's now worldwide. It's a new movement of negativity and judgmental people coming out of the woodwork, especially on the internet. And sadly, many of them are Christians. Now, you might not think that being judgmental or negative is all that bad, but actually, it's deeply rooted and influenced by demonic spirits of hatred and things that are very opposed to God's love. So we're all trained to look to what's wrong with the situation. We've got a lot of troubleshooters out there. Even reality TV shows reinforce this. You're fired. You're off the island. You're voted out. America doesn't like you. You know, it's something that we have in our culture, and we can start feeling, not really feeling the effects of it because it's so normal. But, you know, most Christians focus on negative things instead of positive things. They often look at what's wrong with a person as opposed to all the good things that God gifted them with. And since there's a general atmosphere of judgment, the enemy has now come in and sown weeds into the kingdom. And while we're not looking, we didn't even see it happening. This dominating negative spirit is causing the heavens to be closed over people, over countries, over cities, over nations, and even churches and individuals. And this is why people can't hear God clearly these days. This is why we're getting conflicting prophetic words. This is why people are having financial difficulties, depression, illness, to name a few. There's a spiritual principle in play here, and I want to unpack this a little bit, and Jesus says it. He says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, Matthew 18:19. Now, that's the spiritual principle, because that's called the principle of agreement. It applies to the positive and the negative as well. If we are agreeing with the fruits of darkness, then we are actually closing off ourselves to the light of the Lord and the love of God that flows in our lives. We can actually start closing the heavens over us and not realize it. This will impact not only us, those around us, and ultimately the entire world. So I got some good news for you, is that we can actually change the spiritual atmosphere around ourselves, around our family, around our work, churches, our finances, our city, our nation, and even our own personal relationship with God. I know, because I've walked through this over 10 years ago with this revelation God gave me, and it opened the heavens like you never believe. And, you know, it's interesting because people ask me, how do you hear God so clearly? You know, because I release the daily prophetic words, and they hear me on the internet and things like that. And this message I'm about to share with you is exactly what opened the heavens over me to be able to hear God very clearly, and also to step into a time of blessing. So first of all, we need to recognize the covert attack of the enemy. It's to get us out of unity. It's to get us to judge, accuse others, get into fear, judge instead of love. Those are things that the enemy's doing. But you know what? There's powerful biblical principles of agreeing with God and others. This is why the enemy doesn't want us to see this. He wants to get Christians to disagree with each other, because disunity distracts us. Jesus even said, a house divided against itself will fall. So I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, so that there will be no divisions among you, but you will be perfectly united in one mind and thought. That was 1 Corinthians 1:10, the Apostle Paul. Another attack of the enemy is to get us to judge and accuse others. I'm going to unpack a few of these attacks, and I'm going to talk about how we can break through them. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same measure that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, Jesus said in Matthew 7:1-2. Did you know that one of the names given to Satan is the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10? And so when we start accusing people, then we're actually coming into agreement with darkness, as I mentioned earlier, over a person, or we're actually doing what Satan did to people by accusing them. We just don't want to do that. Listen, here's a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We actually want to be about reconciling people to God and not separating them or causing divisions. Here's another attack that gets us to not love. Jesus tells us clearly that the greatest commandment is love. Love other people, love God, love ourselves. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And there's a second one like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws of the prophets hang on these two commandments." Wow, that's pretty serious. Listen, all the laws of the prophets hang on two commandments of love. The biggest driving spirit behind these attacks I've been talking about is a spirit of fear. "Do not be afraid" appears 365 times in the Bible. Fear is not just an emotion. It's also a demonic spirit that can hold you back. 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now check this out. 1 John 4:18 in the New King James Version. "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears is not made perfect in love." Fear's not just an emotion, it's also comes with a tormentor. And we have to be very careful that we don't open ourselves up to the torment of fear. Now that's what's going on these days with terrorism. It's the same spirit. It comes to torment you and to keep you out of perfect love. As 1 John says, many people don't realize that a demonic tormentor can be assigned if you get into chronic fear of not trusting the Lord. And we have to be very careful of this, but there's some good news in this. We're going to cast that spirit out, and I believe this is going to open the heavens over you. So there is a solution to the pollution. For a number of years, I've been bringing a message that God gave me regarding this, about some spiritual principles in the Bible that will actually open the heavens over you instead of closing them. And whenever I speak this, I have a supernatural occurrence happens in the meetings. A thick manifest presence of God comes in the room. It's so awesome that in the services or even on webcasts, people often get gripped in their seat. They don't get up. Silence goes over the room. This thick presence of God comes in. And even before lunch, check this out. Even before lunch, no one will move once we dismiss them, because there's the sign. When Christians don't jump up to go to lunch, then they're still seated. That means God's moving in the room. So, you know, in this moment of God's visitation during these meetings, and by the way, it's going to open up over you right now over this audio, many people are crying and repenting. Some people are feeling the anointing and enjoying God's presence and actually bathing in it. Others are feeling conviction. Others are feeling the fear of the Lord, while others stand up and cheer because this is a message they wish someone, a Christian leader, had said long ago. Those are usually the younger of the crowd, because they've been wanting someone to stand up and speak this about the truth of love, and not rejecting people. So, you know, I've never recorded this message or made it available until now, and this is the time, like never before, that this message, Love Not Judge, needs to get out to the world. And God spoke to me that I must record this now and get it out there. So let's talk about God's agenda, because God has an agenda that he's making it clear to us right now. Sometimes he shifts in and out of revival mode and different things are happening. His agenda right now, maybe you've heard me talk about this, that right now God's new agenda is to gather the spiritual outcast. And these are the ones who have fallen in the cracks. They've been wounded or rejected by Christianity. God's new agenda is here to draw these people in. In order to be part of God's agenda happening right now, we must love unconditionally. We must be willing to walk with people who have been rejected and wounded. We must love. We must have lots of grace. It's required to be part of this new move of God that's coming to the spiritual outcast. Yes, God's on the move among the tattooed and pierced. He's on the move among those who are into zombies and vampires that you might not even understand. Maybe they're your kids. He's on the move right now behind the scenes in the LGBT community, gays and lesbians. He's on the move in New Age people, various political parties that might not be the ones you think. He's on the move in the current conservatives as well as the liberals. He's on the move with people inside and outside the church. But because I've been a prophetic evangelist for a number of years, I see things outside the church, and therefore I am now telling you that he is on the move in these groups of people, drawing them in. We're about to see something. He's going to move powerfully among women and minorities. He's going to promote many people into positions of authority who haven't been there before. So we need to be sensitive and not not reject what God's doing. We need to be sensitive to people who've been previously rejected by a legalistic or an unloving approach and called it God's love, because that is not God's love. Why is this a unique view, you know, that I've been talking about? Well, here, let me just tell you a little bit. In 2002, I was one of the forerunners in using prophecy and dream interpretation to reach out to people with God's love. I led hundreds of outreach events, trained thousands of people in prophetic evangelism for a number of years. I was shocked in what we discovered. We rented booths at various shows. We went to malls, coffee shops, all over the world, and we encountered wave upon wave of people who had a negative experience with Christianity or church. The fallout of the wounded people right under our noses is astounding. I mean, it's shocking. And here's my story. You know, I've been an outreach specialist for decades, and I actually came out of darkness, extreme darkness, back in the 80s. I was wounded by the church and sent away with a letter turning me over to Satan in hopes my soul would be saved. And it was a very painful experience, but God used it. I'm healed now. And, you know, I used to specialize for a number of years in apologetics because I was an evangelist back in the 80s. And apologetics is where you study the Bible and you can answer people's questions and refute the truth. But I just want to tell you something. People aren't asking those questions anymore. They don't want to know, you know, what the truth is, because what's true for you is not true for me, many of them are saying. I quickly found out that the number one question people are asking about God is not his existence. We don't have to prove that he exists. Many people are spiritual but not religious. Remember this. So nearly everyone we encountered in the streets actually believed in God to some degree. Most of them could not understand why Christians that they knew were unloving or judgmental towards them. This often included closest family members. So my apologetics quickly turned to apologizing. I'm not kidding. I began asking forgiveness to people everywhere on behalf of their negative experience with Christianity. And we'd give them prophetic words. We'd interpret their dreams. We even interpreted tattoos because we wanted to find a way. We weren't promoting tattoos, but we wanted to find a way to get people to understand that God loves them. And you know what? This goes deeper than you might think. As we were doing this, I've spoke at many church services, conferences, or led outreaches, and I started to notice this pattern is actually inside the church as well as outside. Many people have been wounded inside the church. Many of them fall away or they ran away and still stay connected with people like me or you. Maybe if you've been nice to them, they'll still stay connected with people on the internet. My daily prophetic words are like church to some people because it's a safe place for them. And that's why the internet, we need to take back the internet right now, because God wants to do something new in this group. So there are people in need of God's love all around us, and we carry the light and love of Jesus. And we actually have our work cut out for us for helping bring healing to these wounds of literally over a billion people who've been hurt or rejected by Christianity. Again, I'm not bashing the church. You know, I'm a pastor, and my wife and I, we had to respond to this as we were doing outreaches. And so as a pastor, I planted several churches that were geared to reach some of these people. Many of them, maybe people you know, maybe your friends at school or work, maybe your sons or your daughters or your grandchildren, pastors' kids, or those who grew up going to church but never went back once they left home. This is the group I'm talking about. This is a group that is saying, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. What's truth for you is not truth for me. Have you heard this? Because now we need to find a way to build a bridge. And if you tell them you're a Christian, they stick you in a box and get angry. And that's because they've had some serious religious wounds over the truth. So this broke my heart, because God's love and message of Jesus is never intended to be such presented in such a way to bring damage. And this is why I've dedicated my entire life and ministry to reaching this group of people and train others to do the same. And my wife and I planted our first church to this group in 1998, and we've been launching outreaches ever since. So I come at this from a prophet, from an evangelist, and from a pastor as well. So I want you to know that what I'm saying, this is road tested. This is not just theory. This is not just Bible teaching. And this is not just a wounded guy talking about what's wrong with the church. This is something that I believe that the Lord wants to heal now. And this is a key to the new revival that's coming. So there is a better way. It's the way of love, not judge. And this is not actually training on evangelism. I've been talking about outreach. What I'm going to share with you will indeed help you to reach out to people in new ways, but there's much more to it. In the midst of doing outreaches and pastoring this group of outcasts, I discovered that there are actually some powerful biblical principles that we can apply to our lives. They'll open the heavens over us. They'll help us to hear God's voice more clearly. They'll shift the spiritual atmosphere around us on earth as it is in heaven. And it can bring heaven down into your life, can open up financial blessings, giving you amazing favor on your life. It can position you to be part of one of the biggest revivals in history that's coming. That's why this message is so powerful. It brings healing in all areas as we line up with God's principles. So, you know, where did this movement come from, actually, this negative movement? It's shocking. It's astounding, actually. But I was reading the parable of the wheat and the weeds that Jesus spoke about. It's in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And I invite you to write these down and go look them up for yourself. I'm going to really go through some of them quite fast, but it would be really great if you study this later. Jesus told them this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seeds, good seed, in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, which is interesting, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. And when the wheat sprouted, it formed heads. Then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came and said to him, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? And where then did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling them up, you may uproot some of the wheat with them as well. You may wound them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, the harvesters will collect the weeds and tie them into bundles and be burned and gather the wheat into the barn." Now listen, this was Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. And it's about our current situation. Keys to understanding our circumstances right now is this. Jesus compares the actions that's happening with an enemy of the kingdom. That's the enemy. That's Satan. This gives us really deep insight into how things work spiritually. The wheat represents the good things of God that he plants in our lives. You know, he'll plant that in the life of a believer and an unbeliever. Notice it grows, which indicates that there's a process involved, and it doesn't all happen at once. We try to make salvation happen all at once, you know, trying to get people to pray prayers and things like that, but we need to understand this process. God allows things good and bad to happen to us. The bad things did not come from God. They came from the enemy. This parable is very clear. Our tendency then would be to uproot everything bad. Should we pull up the weeds? Remember that? But, you know, it would harm ourselves and others. So this is the root issue that we are dealing right now. Christians try to fix and uproot everything negative. And while we're doing that, we can really wound people. Let's go on a little bit more. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. It's John 10:10. So we need to recognize that this is not God who does bad things in the world. And, you know, God's getting the bad rap right now. Why, if there's a loving God, why would he allow all these things to happen? Satan comes to destroy, kill, and to steal and lie and counterfeit these things. Now, notice that parable of the wheat and the weeds. The enemy came while people were sleeping. And I believe that that's kind of like the church. We can fall asleep with the greater things. The enemy comes in and he goes away. And so that's a big move right now in the world to get people to believe that God is actually doing negative things when it's actually Satan. So notice Jesus said this in the midst of these attacks of the thief coming, right? That we can also have life abundantly. Wow, that's really good to know. So let's talk about the lost message of grace and love. And there's a very legalistic view of God that's out there right now. Many people view God, and they interpret the Bible in different ways. Most popular view right now is that God is like a judge and the Bible is a rule book. And that is so far from the truth. If you follow the rules, then you'll get, you know, that's what they say. If you just follow the rules, then you'll grow spiritually. And if you mess up, you can be forgiven. But what happens is you get in this cycle. Many people who use this thing that's happening right now about legalism, they see themselves as imperfect and they keep messing up and they never really can get to that standard. So they get in this vicious cycle of trying hard, falling short, feeling guilty, repenting, repeating this again and again. Actually, people give up and tire out and leave the church and even backslide, or maybe stay in the church but lose their close relationship as God the Father. And God wants to be a loving Father to us, and it's not about rules. And that's what the early church tried to fall back into is obeying the rules. We need to unearth this message, this lost message of grace and love. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give us abundant, full life in John 10:10. You know, we want to understand about the way of grace. Jesus died to set us free from the law, the rule-based religion, Romans 8:2. Now, we are free to follow God, not by rules, but through a relationship. And we study the Bible, we'll see actually God's character. It's really important. That way you can understand when he speaks to you, whether it's from the enemy, you, or another source. So we can see ourselves as sons and daughters of God, not merely bondservants or servants or slaves. We are sons and daughters, and God is inviting us into such a deep relationship. But legalism causes us to do things that grace now has, you know, grace will undo those things. And we need to get into a grace base. Now, that's scary for some people. My goodness, Doug, do you know what's going to happen? Yeah, we're going to give people a right not to sin, but we're going to give them a right to get out from under the tormentor, out from under fear. Christianity gets off track when we fall into legalism. We forget God's love is truly free, and that we need to be in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to move and speak to us. So, how did we lose track of love? Since God's entire essence is love, God is love, and Jesus demonstrates for us love. You know, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love conquers all. Love overcomes. Love never fails. Love covers over a multitude of sin. How did we lose track of this? Wow. I don't know, but it happened in my life. I start getting with the status quo, and people around you can start becoming negative and judgmental, and you know, where two agree together or more, two or three start getting negative together, it starts to close off the heavens. And I had to step away from this in my life. So there's power in love and encouragement. And this was really the revelation God gave me to do the outreaches, that we're able to now reach people, to open them up to God instead of closing them off. I kid you not, people are open more to God when we start to use the power of love and encouragement. So a key here is to not to focus on negative things, but instead find something positive somewhere in a person, even yourself. It's a spiritual principle that changes the atmosphere around you. The Apostle Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me put into practice, and God, the God of peace, will be with you. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Wow, the Apostle Paul says it right. Begin to focus on whatever is good, true, lovely. Focus on those things. It will take an effort to shift things in your life, but we need to develop the positive God perspective. I got this message, I think it was in 2003. I was traveling around doing outreaches and everything. I was really just, I was on fire with this message and leading outreaches all over the place. And I started to really kind of get, I was really frustrated a lot, and I was always stuck in the back of the plane with a bad seat. I always say row 66, seat number 6. And, someone with a barf bag on one side. You know what I'm saying? Things just seemed negative. And it seemed like when I would get a check in the mail, I'd also get a flat tire. And stuff was like that happening to me all the time. And I was crying out to God. I'm like, God, I give, I tithe, I do these things for you. I'm going around leading outreaches. I'm leading people to the Lord. I'm hearing your voice. What is going on? And, he spoke to me. And he said to me, if you would stop complaining, I would actually shift things over you. And he began to show me these verses about what I'm talking to you about. And he said, if you'd stop complaining, you'd stop grumbling, because where two agree together, it will be done. He said, I will change things over you. I stopped. I went on a negative thought and talk fast. And within a short period of time, relatively short time, things shifted, even on flights, not just from my frequent flyer miles, but I would get upgraded. I remember getting upgraded to first class all the time. And then all of a sudden, I decided to sew one of my first class seats back to someone. A husband and wife got separated, so I let them sit in my first class seat. And they were blown away because they'd never seen that. And then, to me, I'm thinking, wow, I love this. I love this positive kingdom perspective, because the more you sow, the more you reap. What you sow is what you reap. The more you give, the more you receive. And once you get into that flow, you're no longer in the negative flow. So many Christians have fallen into the fix everyone mode, which I was talking about earlier, where we tend to look at the negative things around us as opposed to God's positive solutions. And because of this, we can get into a condition where we are seeing through lenses of negativity. And this will also skew our view of God as well as people around us, and can make us mad at the whole world. God's actually a loving Father. He's very positive. He's for you. His ways of love got to become our only reality. God's ways are often opposite of ours. You ever hear that? God's ways are opposite of our ways. So I've developed a strategy after God began to show this to me, and I started seeing that it was true. I began to develop a strategy that I call flipping a negative situation into a positive kingdom perspective, or flipping a negative situation into a positive outcome. This isn't just positivity. This is positively impacting yourself and the world with God's love. And I call it flip it and flip it good. This is something that God gave me. 1 John 4:4 tells us that the Spirit in us is greater than the one in the world. That's my paraphrase. But we can change the spiritual atmosphere of negativity. Have you noticed it? It's out there. It's everywhere, especially on the internet. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So there's a spiritual principle. If you're sowing grumbling, if you're sowing negative thoughts, complaining, and doubts, then you're going to reap a closed atmosphere. You're going to reap no blessings. This is why people actually fall into works instead of coming into agreement with the characteristics of heaven. They want to kind of work their way out of this. But that what you sow is what you reap. All you got to do is shift things around and begin to sow blessing. So I still complain, honestly, I do, but I make sure that I sow more blessing over a complaint. If I file a complaint over some place that I didn't like or something like that, I'll be sure that I sow 2 to 3 compliments as well through Yelp or TripAdvisor or somewhere. And it's not just complaining. Don't speak up just to complain. That'll close the heavens. Begin to bless, 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 bless. So check this out. I just want to talk about this in the area of sexuality. When a woman was caught in adultery and was brought to Jesus, he saw her condition or her judgment, and it was keeping her from her true destiny of love. And that's why I mentioned this, because there are people out there who have a true destiny of love, but they may have gotten caught up in things. Who knows what it was? Maybe it was their generational calling. Maybe it was things that happened to them. But then Jesus says this, woman, see, here's what he said. Those without sin cast the first stone. Wow. And they went away, because we all have it. But Jesus said to the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now, leave your life of sin. This is John 8, 10 through 11. Wow, this is really serious. Jesus actually had to break the judgments against her. See, there was people judging her, but when he made them leave by pointing out that they all have sin, it actually freed her up. He shifted the spiritual atmosphere over an adulterous woman, because there were so many judgments against her, and she just needed to have that relieved off of her so that she could receive grace and forgiveness. And this is what we need today, because we have people who are in sexual sin, who are held down. There's people in the church even that are held back by things, and we got to be careful to judge and make sure that we don't have anything in us if we're judging others, number one. Number two, if the enemy's holding you down with sins like this, begin to ask God to give you a plan. Ask him to make himself real to you. He will do it. You know, judgments hold people down, but mercy, grace, and forgiveness and acceptance frees them up. Luke 6:37, Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Wow, Jesus was really clear here. Verse 42, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye while you fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus said. First take out the plank out of your own eye, then you'll be able to clearly remove the speck from your brother's eye. Wow, this is pretty serious. We have people going around. Remember I said that they're focused on, many people in the church, focused on seeing the negative in people, trying to remove it. But we need to focus first on our own stuff. Like Jesus said, the one without sin cast the first stone. And we need to be careful. So we need to actually be in the ministry of reconciliation instead of accusation. The spirit of accusation has been dominating the church for the past few decades, making the body of Christ sick. Yes, when the body turns on itself, it will be sick. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So there are proactive things that we can do to clear the spiritual atmosphere. Jesus cleared the spiritual atmosphere over the woman caught in adultery. We can clear the spiritual atmosphere over ourselves, over nations, over cities, over churches, you name it, we can do it. And notice that God's ways are often opposite than ours. And what we experience in our culture and the world around us is a direct conflict. Now, check this out, because with God, you hear these in the Bible? Jesus said, turn the other cheek if someone strikes you. If we are asked to give someone something, give it to them freely. Of course, we use boundaries nowadays, but these are some of the things from the Bible. We need to bless those who curse us or mistreat us, love our enemies, build up and not tear down. Forgive and you will be forgiven. The first will be last. We need to humble ourselves to be lifted up. Do you get the drift here? God's ways are opposite than ours. We need to step back, and we can shift the spiritual atmosphere by coming into agreement with some of these easy principles. So let's look at what Jesus did. The power of encouragement. This is where I got this. I got a revelation when I was reading the first seven chapters of the book of John. This is about, gosh, a long time ago, almost 15 years ago. And I noticed this. In John 1, Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, and he said, "Here is a true Israelite, one in whom there's no deceit." "How did you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel." Wow. He had an eye-opening experience because Jesus found something positive in him. He called him an honest man. He said, "You're a true Israelite, one in whom there's nothing false," right? Didn't that open it up? And he was able to see that, wow, you're the Son of God. You know, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel." Later on, Peter, you know, Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Son of God, the King of Israel." And Jesus said, you know, that wasn't revealed to you by man or your own thoughts. That was the Holy Spirit. So we can see here the Holy Spirit begin to work in Nathanael long before Peter had said that. Let's look at John 4 with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus told her, he had a conversation with her, which he started revealing. They were talking about spiritual things and worship. And then suddenly he says, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said, "You're right when you say you've had no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband." "What you said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I see that you're a prophet." This is in John 4, 16 through 19. You know, he didn't judge her. He didn't say, "Away from me, you adulterous woman." You know, a woman like that in that day would have been stoned. But instead, he found something positive. He said, "What you said is quite true." He called an adulterous woman honest. And he found something positive in everybody. And when we do this the same, we'll call people up to out of their negative situations and into God's love and hope and acceptance. And this, my friends, is the key to revival. This is the mysteries and the secrets the Lord has shown me years ago and how to reach a generation. And this is what's going to happen right now for us to have revival. John 13, 34 and 35, a new command Jesus said, "I give you." Here it is. Jesus said this, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." You know, most people misquote that verse and say that they'll know us, that we are disciples by our love. It's not our love in general. It's not even love for anybody else. It's love for one another within the church. And once we see that, when people see our unity and our love, they'll be drawn to us. Wow. That's pretty big. How about this? Do you need a financial breakthrough? Well, have you given and given and given and not seen a return? It could be because judgments are actually holding you back. Let's look at a popular verse that talks about the giving and judgment. Now, I was getting up at a conference or a church, or I don't remember what it was, but it was a number of years ago, and I was going to read Luke 6:38, which is, hey, it's appropriate to read it at an offering. And God began to speak to me right there. He says, "I want you to read the verses before and after, and I want you to understand this." Now, I wasn't going to read that to the church yet, you know, but I went back later on to my hotel and studied this. But I got up and read the verse, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap, for the measure you use will be measured to you." Which is true. We use this in offerings, and yes, it is. It's a biblical principle, works with money. But guess what? It's a powerful verses on blessing, and it's the context of letting go of judgments. And Jesus said that we will get a good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Listen to me. Luke 6:37, the verse before. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will will be forgiven. So there's a few things that really kind of set up the give and it will be given to you. It is do not judge, do not condemn, and forgive. Wow, that's pretty powerful. And get that good measure shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap, for the measure that you use will be measured to you. Now, this works for money as well as other things. Verse 39, he also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead the blind? They will both fall into a pit. The student is not above the teacher, but anyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. And then verse 41, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Remember, I just read that. So do you want to be like your teacher, like the Lord? That's what he's trying to say here. Be like him. He says, love as I have loved you. And so this verse is great. You know, Luke 6:38 is great for blessing. It's true. We can use this for offerings. But I tell you, if you need a breakthrough in finances or any area of your life, you may need to look at this. This applies to all the areas of your life. So if you're sowing and not being able to reap, then you need to go back and look. We're going to have a prayer a little bit later. You need to look at areas that you may have judged, that there's judgment. Remember, the measure of judgment can hold you back from that blessing that God wants to give you. This applies to praying for leaders as well. And when I take groups through this, I tell them straight up, many of you are not getting blessed financially or even not able to hear the Lord because you're outside of a biblical principle about praying for leaders. You don't have to agree with them, but we do have to pray for them. The Apostle Paul urged us to pray for leaders, and he did this during a time when the world leaders were not godly. In fact, it was Nero, the Caesar over the emperor over the whole land at that time, was Nero and was killing Christians. And the Apostle Paul actually said that we need to pray. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made to all people, for kings and for those in authority, and that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleasing to our God and Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Write it down and read it, because God wants you to pray for your president. He wants you to pray. I don't care who it is. And so many people start cursing the presidents and leaders and pastors and things like that, and it will close the heavens over you. Love, not judge, is the key, actually, to everything. Have you seen it? I've been trying to unpack this message. It's a mystery hidden in Christ. Love conquers all. Love overcomes. Love never fails. Love covers over a multitude of sin. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13. This is really important because, you know, we hear this at weddings usually. But there's a lot in this. I'm just going to read it and let the Lord just open this up to you more. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not dishonoring to others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, it always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. And when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then we shall know in full, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. That's so powerful. You know, there's some Christians and there's some theologies that use that to say that prophecy's not for today, which is ludicrous. It's crazy. That this is just saying that when love comes, it's greater than these things. Love is greater than all of those things. Love never fails. So we need to respond to this. I want to read a few verses from the Bible about love, not judge. And I want to let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you, begin to wash over you. And if you have anything or holding anything against someone, maybe you're judging or not loving, this is a time at the end we're gonna open the heavens, and it's going to be a powerful experience for you. I get back so many testimonies from people who've gone through this, who've been in one of my meetings or done this on the internet or heard my audio, and it's radically changed their lives. Here goes. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Matthew 5:43. You've heard that it is said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing the same thing? John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. James 3:9. With your tongue we praise the Lord and our Father. And we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth should not come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Matthew 5:23. Jesus says, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and reconcile with them, and then come and give your gift. Settle matters quickly, Jesus said, with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you that you will not get out until every last penny is paid. And there's one of the words there about being thrown into prison, or the jailer actually is tormentor. Many people have been handed over to a tormentor of fear. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If you have any grievances against each other, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these things, all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. By the same measure you used will be measured to you. So when asked by the rich young ruler how to inherit salvation, Jesus replied, you know, he gave a list from the Ten Commandments, you know, and then he added one more that was not part of the original law. In Matthew 19:18, Jesus replied, you know, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Then he throws in, honor your mother and your father, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love conquers all. Love overcomes. Mark 12:33. To love him with all your heart. This is to God. With all your heart, all your soul, and all your understanding, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are more important, Jesus said, than burnt offerings. In other words, Jesus is saying, loving God, loving yourself, loving your neighbor, loving with all your heart is more important than giving offerings, than fasting, than doing things for him. This is how important this is. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, Jesus said. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting it back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind and ungrateful to the wicked. God the Father is kind to people who don't even know or understand him. He's not judging them like many people think he is, but he wants to give to them freely, and we need to do the same. Luke 11:42, woe to you, the Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone, Jesus says. Love fulfills the law. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except continuing the debt of love, loving one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said this to his apostles. The Apostle Paul repeated it several times. In Galatians 5:14, the entire law is fulfilled by keeping the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Let's take a moment and soak in this. Let this soak over you. I don't want you to fast forward or move on from this, because I believe God's moving in your life right now. And let's just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Who or what have we judged? Lord, show us right now. Is there anybody that we've judged, that we've not been loving to? Are there any groups of people? Show us the names of anybody. Now, you don't have to agree with them. I realize that maybe you're wounded by some of these people. But I'm not saying that you have to agree. I don't want to rip open wounds here. I just want to get people out of the prison of torment. Lord may show you someone that you need to forgive right now. And again, you don't have to agree with them. They don't have to be alive. You don't have to even go to them. This is a spiritual thing happening in the spiritual realm at this moment. I had to forgive my brother who's now dead. I had to forgive him for doing bad things to me. And I had to do that. And when I did it, it freed something up. I didn't even know I was still judging him. I thought I'd let him go, but the Lord showed me this. Maybe it's people groups that are different than you. People at work or school, neighbors or your family members who aren't Christians or don't believe the same thing. Maybe it's political parties, conservative, liberals, the president. Maybe it's people with tattoos or piercings. Maybe it's gay and lesbians, the LGBT community. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's all of the above. But let God show you right now if you're holding anything against anyone. Maybe it's against God. That's what I'm sensing right now. Many people have felt rejected and wounded by God. And it's God himself that you need to forgive and realize that he's not out to harm you. The Lord's going to reveal it right now. And not only now, but he's going to keep speaking to you over the next day or two and even week. And God, we choose right now to forgive these people. Heavenly Father, we ask you give us the ability to release them into your hands, release them into the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and died for every one of us. And if our tongues have been used as a weapon against anyone, Lord, we ask forgiveness. Search us, O Lord. Find out if there's any hidden judgments that we still have that we're holding on to. Show us if there's any judgments, if there's anything that's keeping us from advancing, if there's any unkindness. Father, if there's any wounds that we have, we just bring them to the cross right now, and we ask for supernatural healing. Maybe it's our finances that are being held back. God, we just bring that to you as well. And we break off any curses now that have been placed on us generationally for any of these things. Or if it was our own actions or if it was our actions because the actions of someone else. We just bring it all to the cross now. And we break off any curses over our finances, over our relationships, over our relationship with you, with ourselves and others, Lord. And we release things now into the spiritual realm. We release it into the cross of Christ, and we release it so that the spiritual realm will shift. Open the heavens over us now. Shift the spiritual atmosphere. Now, God, show us how to encourage these people. Give us a plan even to encourage ourselves. Show us and give us revelation. Begin to speak to us how to focus on the positive, how to change things. So I want to pray this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the family in heaven on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your innermost being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to it, the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, I want to encourage you to continue to listen to this again. Go on a 21-day negative talk and thought fast with the Lord. Begin to ask God each day, pray each day and ask God to open your eyes to see and ears to hear, soften your heart. Ask him to soften your heart. Ask him to show you how to bless someone. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear reports back. You can email us off my website, DougAddison.com, but also go to social media and Facebook, The Doug Addison, or Twitter and Instagram, Doug T. Addison. And leave us some feedback about this. Let us know what's going on, because I know God's going to do an amazing miracle in your life, and I want to know about it so we can pray with you. Go to my website. Also, sign up for my daily prophetic words if you don't already receive them, and look at some of the things that we have to offer on how to hear the voice of God, experience the supernatural, and discover your destiny. I'm not trying to sell you something here. I'm trying to shift the spiritual atmosphere over you, because a lot of the things I'm saying are not the popular message that's out there right now, but this is going to prepare you for the new revival and the new year. God bless you richly.